In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have the saying, perhaps God forgive us. Each one of us has said it before. I hope he gets what's coming to him. It's really a terrible saying. It's a saying of judgment. It's a saying of sort of taking God's work into our own hands. The psalmist says that saying. And in the time that he said it, most likely people understood it the way that we understand it. This guy did something bad. We hope he gets what's coming to him. We hope he gets him put in prison or gets taken down a few notches or something like that. But the Lord came to this earth, became incarnate, became a man, so that we would get what he wanted to be coming to us. So we have to learn to think of things in a spiritual manner. And I read the Psalter every day. I hope you do too. I tell you to just about every sermon. And I hope you do read the Psalter every day. It's beautiful to read it. It's all about everything that can happen in life is in the Psalter. Every sort of human condition, every feeling, every temptation is in the Psalter. And the solution is also in the Psalter, usually right there. Usually literally as the second half of the sentence. It's all over. There's historical things in the Psalter, many messianic psalms in the Psalter, so many beautiful things. I recommend very much that you read the Psalter daily. So I was reading the Psalter today, and I was reading Psalm 93, because basically I just go from Kathisma 1 all the way through, and then I turn around again. I usually read two Kathismas in the weekdays, and then also Psalm 118. So three kathismas each weekday, and then also different things on the weekend. I recommend that you do something. If you read just three psalms a day, if you read just one psalm a day, if you read one psalm a day, you read the entire Psalter twice, more than twice in the year. But in Psalm 93, it says, the Lord is the God of vengeances. The God of vengeances has spoken openly. Be thou exalted, O thou that judges the earth. Render the proud their due. This is basically a messianic psalm. And it has this idea in it that we have colloquially of, I hope he gets what's coming. Render to the proud their due. Well, the Lord is going to do that. We have to understand the Psalter and all of the prayers of the church in a spiritual way. I'm not so convinced that when they were written by the psalmist that he understood it in this spiritual way, but he was a mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit and said things that could be interpreted in a spiritual way by those who have had maturity in the Holy Spirit in baptism. So the Lord is coming, and we're celebrating his advent coming up, right? On Tuesday, his incarnation. He is coming, he came to the earth. He's not coming, he's already come, of course, in order to render to us what is our due. And what is our due? Well, he created us so that we would know him intimately. He created us because of love. He created us because he wants us to share in who he is, because there's nothing better in the universe. To know who God is, to share in his energy, to know him intimately. We have some inkling of that kind of thing by knowing someone intimately, right? Either in marriage or in our relationships with our children or good friends, or in my case, in your case too, probably, some of you, relationships with your grandchildren. Now, one thing that I do, some of you know about it, I do monster movies and I do X-Men movies, and those are to my two grandsons that I am blessed that I have not received what's coming to me in this world, that by the grace of God, I'm able to take care of each one of them one day of each week. Yesterday, I took care of both of them. It was a total blast. And the day before, I took care of Monster Man, and I had made a monster movie. I don't know why I call him Monster, but he's a little monster to me. Sort of taking my heart to his lair. And normally, I highlight psalm verses and I use those for my monster movies. But I didn't have anything to talk about today. And as far as I'm concerned, you can take just about any scripture and sort of relate it to what's happening in your life now. It's very easy to do that for me. It just seems to just jump off the page. And it seems to me, although I didn't think of it this morning, this is very much about the nativity. Because the psalmist is saying, give them what's coming, render to the proud their due, and we are the proud. And the proud are going to get their due. They're going to get the Lord Jesus Christ humbling himself, taking on the form of a slave, becoming man, taking on all of our weaknesses, all of our temporariness, if that's such a word, and making us able to be eternal, to be full of life. So we're getting what he wants us to be our due. Not what somebody who would say, he's a terrible person, he deserves this. And we do deserve it. I don't deserve to take care of my grandchildren. Absolutely not. I don't deserve to be standing here as a priest. I don't deserve anything except death. But the Lord wants to give me according to his choice what my due is. And he made me and made you to have eternal life. And that is only accomplished through the incarnation, which we are celebrating in a couple days. We've actually been celebrating it by preparing for it for quite some time now. And in fact, we had hymns that were very much about the nativity today, just as we did last week and the week before. Now, what is this that we are rendered in this life? The psalm answers that question. At the end of the psalm, in the 12th verse, it says, blessed is the man whom thou shalt chasten, O Lord, and out of thy law thou shalt instruct him. That's what our due is. The Lord Jesus Christ became man to live a perfect life as a human being and to transmit that ability to us. That's really twofold, the transmission of that ability. To be able to do something, you need really two things. First, you need to be able to be instructed in it, and then you need the capacity to be able to do it. We could instruct one of the children here in calculus. They wouldn't be able to do it because they don't yet have the mind to be able to understand it. So it's the same with the Christian life, with the spiritual life. The Lord lived that perfect life and transmitted it to us in teaching, both things that were recorded and things that are just part of the mind of the church that he told to the apostles. And that his mother knew, and that all of the saints just sort of understood because of the Holy Spirit instructing them. And he gave us the ability through baptism to fulfill those instructions. And really, if you look at your life, you see that your pride is what gets in your way. Now, I love my monster man very much, but he's now 21 months old. And he's been taught to share. He's been taught to love. He's seen nothing but good examples from his parents. I hope from his papa and everyone else. And yet, when he has an opportunity to snatch a toy from someone, he does it. He'll give toys to people. He'll give toys to Owen of his own will. He'll give him a toy. He has two lawnmowers, right, that you can push around the house, you know, play lawnmowers. So he gave one to Owen. He had one, and he actually forced Owen. He was pushing the lawnmower to Owen because he wanted Owen to get up and do the lawnmower with him. Owen had no interest in the lawnmower at the time. But if Owen picks up something, all of a sudden, Noah wants that thing. What is that? That's pride. That's pride. And of course, he has to be taught about that, doesn't he? We have to render to the proud their due. Now, he got in trouble for bapping on Owen's head. He wasn't trying to hurt him, but, you know, we can't let kids be bopping each other on the head. And told him, don't do that. Go apologize. Say sorry. My goodness, it was a 5-minute extravaganza to get him to say sorry. He didn't want to do it. He tried everything he could to not say sorry. He pouted. He said, hold you, which is his way of saying, hold me, which is all of a sudden he's in great distress as if his life is just worthless. So he has to be held. He just didn't want to do what he was told. Then he went around the room, and anybody that he knew, he would say my name and Christina's name and a bunch of other people just because he wanted to get away with not apologizing. We didn't let him do it. And eventually he said sorry. This is rendering the proud their due. This is what we need. We need to be humbled. We need to become obedient. And through the incarnation, we have the ability to. Then we can have peace in our heart. What a wondrous thing. To not be angry when people are taking things from us, not always wanting to get things from people, not being jealous, not remembering wrongs, not having all that gunk inside of us. That's what the Lord wants to render to you. But you're a proud person. I know that without being judgmental. Because it's just true of all human beings. It's true of little monster. He's a proud person. But we're teaching him not to be proud. Because that's rendering to the proud their due. That's what the Lord is doing. He's showing the example by being humbled, by humbling himself, by coming for a little while lower than the angels, as the Psalter says, and teaching us how to live. And then he's telling us, you better say you're sorry. You better humble yourself. You better apologize for something. You better shut your mouth instead of spouting it off about something. You better not think yourself so much better than someone else. All that kind of life lessons that we're getting all the time, that's rendering to the proud their due. So that we someday won't be proud. That's what we're celebrating very soon. When we celebrate the Nativity, that we get what the Lord wants to be coming to us. We proud people with stiff necks, with all these foolish things that we think and foolish things that we do. The Lord wants to render to us what He has envisioned before anything was created. That we have life with Him. Perfect, precious life and knowing Him. That's rendering to the proud their due. So you don't dare say that anymore. Okay? Don't ever say, I hope he gets what's coming. Don't ever say that. Instead, pray for a person who is at fault. Perhaps you should apologize to them even if you're not at fault. Perhaps you should do something to go out of your way to win them back, not only to yourself, but maybe to a friend or to a family member and to God. The Lord did everything he could. The Lord humbled himself and became a servant, a slave for our sake. So we should do nothing less than that, as much as is within our power. I think it's quite beautiful if we think of life in this way. So don't ever again say, I hope he gets what's coming. Don't do that. Instead, pray for the proud, recognizing that you are the first in pride and the first to deserve to be judged. But the Lord is merciful to you. He will be merciful to others. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.